Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, that's page 593 in your church Bibles. And we are working our way through Back in the Black. We're halfway through right now, and it's a biblical foundation for personal finance. I want to begin with a review this morning, and that is we're talking about getting back in the black, which involves becoming balanced in our personal finances. There are three laws of balance: reference point, constant correction, and clear objective. And we're applying those to the area of personal finance. We ended the first week with the reference point. You got to be knowing where your money is going. You have to spy on your money. You cannot get to where you want to be. You cannot get to where God wants you to be unless you know where you are. 2 weeks ago, I talked about our clear objective, and that has to do with honoring God with your money, because it all came from God, it all belongs to God, and it's all distributed by God. So honor God with His money. Then last Sunday, we began talking about our first of four constant corrections. We began with debt. Debt is paying somebody else to be your master. Debt is about consuming ourselves into slavery. Remember the verses? The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Remember the other verse? A foolish man spends everything he gets and then some, but a wise man saves for the future. After you apply this truth to your life, you will soon discover that you do, in fact, have extra. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Our second constant correction. A correction that impacts your extra money, your spare money. Extra money, you say? Are you kidding me, Pastor? Have you seen my budget? I don't have any extra money. Actually, most of us do. Once you've figured out how to eat and live indoors, and once you've made sure your family eats and lives indoors, once you're able to get back and forth to work, the rest is pretty much extra. I realize you don't have as much extra as you want, and you probably don't have as much extra as some people you know, and that's because your desire for extra is like the rest of your appetites. You see, appetites can never be fully or finally satisfied. Did you hear me on that? Appetites can never be fully or finally satisfied. What happens when you are hungry right before Thanksgiving dinner? You eat, don't you? You eat and eat and eat. And then you get up from the table and you vow never to eat again because you're more stuffed than the turkey was. Then what happens? In just a couple of hours, before you know it, you're back in the kitchen picking at the leftovers. Appetites can never be fully or finally satisfied. And chances are you have more extra than your parents had at your age. And chances are you have more extra than most people in the world. Did you know the average income in the world in 2020 was only $790.04? That's the 50th percentile. That's less than the welfare payments in the United States. And if you're on welfare in the United States, you have extra by definition. Objection, Pastor. You might say, I don't have extra money lying around. That is true. It rarely lies around. We find stuff for our extra to do, don't we? Remember whenever you have more than something you need, the tendency is to become undisciplined. If you have extra, you eat out, don't you? You go to the movies. You buy a cell phone. You have extra when you have a car or two cars or three cars or more. You have extra when you own your own home. You know, most people in the world don't. You have extra when you have an expensive coffee habit. You have extra when you have a seasonal wardrobe. Pajamas, work clothes, relaxed clothes, workout clothes, golf clothes, work in the yard clothes, and that's just one day of clothes. ever trade anything in that works for another bigger, brighter, shinier, newer one? That's extra. I've done that. What's a garage sale? Come buy my extras, the stuff I no longer want, so I can have more to buy extra stuff that I don't really need. That's what a garage sale is. Ever cleaned out your refrigerator? The garbage disposal in your sink could be called the extra food disposal, couldn't it? We're so accustomed to extra, especially in the United States. That's why we don't feel that we have any. We feel financial pain when we have less extra than we used to. We rarely ask this question. Ready? Why do I have extra? We never ask that question. We only ask a question like that when we're confronted with people who have less than they need, when they really have a need. Then that question, why do I have extra, might come floating to the surface of your mind, but probably only for a few moments. Have you seen the new Netflix show, The World's Most Amazing Vacation Rentals? Never once have I watched that show and wondered why I have so much. Instead, I watch that show and wonder, why haven't I been there? That place is so cool. I've never seen the launch of any new eye product and wondered why I have so much. Instead, I instantly think, I instantly wonder, when can I get one of those? That new upgrade, it's so cool. You see, culture, our culture in particular, keeps us laser focused on what we don't have. And focusing on what we don't have makes our hearts vulnerable to greed. Why? Because as long as I'm on a quest for more, I assume that when more comes along, it's all for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus defines greed as the assumption that all the extra is for my consumption. That kind of attitude leaves us with little margin for generosity. The question we are quick to ask God is, why don't I have more? When we don't have enough, we wonder why. Instead, why not change that question slightly and ask, why did God give me more when I have more, when I have extra? We don't ask that question, do we? Let's turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 13. You see, Jesus addresses this tension head on. One day, a man was accusing his brother of being greedy because his brother wouldn't give him his fair share of his inheritance. It was rightfully his, but apparently his brother just wouldn't give it to him. Can anyone say injustice? That's terrible. We would be jumping up and down about that. But Jesus warns him. The only one not getting his fair share, that's who he warns. Not the brother being stingy, but he warns the one not getting his fair share of being greedy. Imagine that. And Jesus makes this statement to this man. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Did you hear that? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I want to personalize that for us this morning. My life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. Can you just say that out loud with me right now? My life, come on, I can't hear you. My life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. You just said something Jesus said. Can I suggest you put that on your refrigerator until that becomes a part of your regular thinking? Listen carefully to the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 16. Read along with me or follow along on screen. And he, Jesus, told them this parable in answering this man's question. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my extra crops, to store this big harvest." He had extra because of things he had no control over. The rain, the soil, the bugs were down this year. Disease didn't come into his farm. Those are all blessings from God. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my extra grain and all my goods. Not a bad idea. If that's all there is in life, that's a fantastic plan. He was planning ahead. We would give him kudos, wouldn't we? The problem is, he was just not planning far enough ahead. Look at verse 19. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of extra good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Again, this is good. It's a wise plan if you have many years left. But he didn't have control over that either, did he? If the story had just ended there, if Jesus would have just put a period in this spot, he would have gone down in history as a role model. But he assumed his extra was for his own consumption. But look at these next two words in verse 20, and you need to circle them in your Bible. Look at this. Verse 20, but God. Don't you just love those two words? Have you ever noticed in Scripture how things change when you read the words but God? When you see but God, you should pay attention. But God said to him, you fool. That is such strong language, isn't it? Not for being rich. He wasn't a fool for being rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich. He was a fool for being confused with the extra. He didn't know why he had it. He thought it was for all for him. This very night, your life will be demanded from you, God said to this man. He ran out of time before he ran out of money. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get the extra, what you have prepared for yourself? The answer is somebody else, not him. Not because he was generous, not because you are generous, but because he is dead. What's the moral of this story? We don't have to guess. Jesus tells us in the very next verse, this is how it will be. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but look at this, is not rich toward God. Toward God? What? What is this total loss? Rich toward God? Dang, I don't understand. How do we define that? How do we know? Again, Jesus does it for us. Here's his instructions to us. Verse 33. Sell your possessions. This is in context of this parable. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven. What is the purse that will not wear out? A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Where no thief comes in and where no moth destroys. What is the treasure in heaven? Other people. You can't take any extra with you. Everything you have will be left here. In fact, you can't take anything with you to heaven except other people. That's it. For look at the next verse. For where your treasure is, there. That is the place your heart will be also. This is how people with extra keep their hearts in the right spot. Is this your heart with your extra? Or is your heart about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here are some takeaways I don't want you to miss. So we're just going to kind of review them quickly. If you assume the extra is all for you, you need to get back in the black. You are out of balance. You need to make a correction before your life is demanded of you. If you have a saving plan and you have a spending plan, but you have no giving plan, friends, according to this passage of Scripture, you need to make a correction. Let me just say that again. You need to make a correction. When you think the extra is all for you, you will save carefully. You will consume carefully. but you will most likely give sparingly. If God has blessed you with more than you need, it is so that you can share your abundance with those in need. And I want to shift for a little bit longer for the application. I want to be really clear about where we're going with this. At the beginning of the year, if you have a 401k or some retirement plan, you're normally required at the beginning of each year to decide what percentage will go into that 401k, and that keeps you from consuming it. It's automatically deducted from your check, or it's automatically deducted from your bank. This is the reason it's helpful to think in terms of percentages, just for this reason. Think of terms of percentages when it comes to saving and when it comes to giving. It is wise to assess your current giving and savings in terms of total dollars and then determine the current giving percentage for this year, this past year. What percentage of your income are you saving? What percentage of your income are you giving? And as always, it's very important to know where you are so you can get to where you want to be. Another thing, if you don't know the percentage, you'll probably deceive yourself into thinking you're generous based on the total dollars you're giving. For instance, the widow in the Bible who gave two small coins, probably less than two pennies. It was called the widow's mite. According to the Bible, she gave all that she had to live on. She gave 100%. She was so generous. There's no question about that. Nobody would argue with that. But the billionaire who gives $10 million might think he's generous, and others might applaud him, being impressed with what such a large gift and call him generous, but in reality, he gave 1%. $5 million, he gave 0.5%. $2.5 million would be a fantastic gift, and he gave 0.25%, and probably didn't even feel it. In that scenario, who's generous, the widow or the billionaire? Whose gift did God notice according to the story of the widow's mite? So, first step is to find out what you're currently giving in terms of dollars and percentages. So you do this. You do this for your saving also, right? Then pick a percentage, a new percentage to challenge and grow your giving and saving for the next year. In your plan, determine where you will give and where you'll invest and send that percentage first with each dollar you earned. And then I suggest you put that on autopilot. We have automated giving here. Find it on our website. There's brochures on our foyer. Put it on autopilot. Percentage giving, percentage saving is the way to ensure that you don't consume all of the extra. Choosing a percentage to give takes that money out of your barn and puts it to work where God wants it to be. That's what it does. And this will force an adjustment in your spending. It will. That will help you get back in the black. That will help you get balanced in your finances. You should know what percentage you gave. You should know what percentage you saved last year. Not just the amount you gave, but also the percentage you gave. The other free piece of advice this morning is remember the recommendations from last week. Give 10, save 10, and live on no more than 70, including taxes. Listen, you can do it. I know you can. So in conclusion, what you do with your extra is an indication of whether or not you believe your life consists in the abundance of your possessions. And if you have a hard time being generous, then you probably think money is like oxygen, water, life, that you just can't live without. If that's you, you will find a way to consume it all. We usually do. And if that's you, you are deceived according to God's word. Your life is in the red. You are not balanced. You need to make a correction. You need to be rich toward God. And this week, figure out how rich toward God you've been. And then make up your mind. Choose a percentage. Pre-decide. Put it on autopilot and force yourself to live as one who no longer confuses possessions with life. And here's the result. You'll be freed of that terrible deception. You will have taken a significant step toward freeing yourself from bondage to your stuff. You will be that much freer to submit yourself to the rule of your Father in heaven. And I want that for you. I want that for you so bad. And guess who else wants that for you? God. You see, freedom from stuff is God's will for your life. Let's pray. God, we just lift up the name of Jesus. And I know, Lord, sometimes money is a touchy subject in church. I get that. But you said so much about money and possessions in Scripture. Because, God, we can't serve both God and money. We're going to hate one and love the other, or despise one and love the other. And, God, you don't want that for us. You don't want stuff, money, stuff that's going to burn up one day, something that's been just given to somebody else. You don't want that occupying our time and attention when it comes to our relationship with you. And you know it's your greatest competition. That's why you talked about it so much. Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take all offense away from these messages. And that, Lord, you would pour out your Spirit in each one of us and correct and align our hearts with your thinking about money so, Lord, we can grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you do that work so that we can ultimately become more like Jesus, knowing that you will provide for everything we need. And God, we praise you for that. Lord, bless us today. Bless every single one who watched. We love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.